This is Radio Superior 1953, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Come on in and gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the fire. It's Monday, June 15th, 1953. What a show we have for you tonight.
Sounds more like a question. And why do you sound so funny?
No question about it. We've got big black flies, millions of white squishy army worms, and the farm agent in to solve all our problems. Beat that, Lou.
Let's say I've got the biggest red offensive in 2 years, an execution, and atomic weather. But why do you sound so weird?
You mean that robotic, godlike sound? I like it. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news brought to you by Motorola TV as low as $239 at Stack & Company. Get a Motorola television to receive our first television station, WFTV. Gab away, Lou.
I prefer Jack's more eloquent, good evening, Lou. Good evening, Tim, and good listeners. The Reds plunge deep into Allied lines, and the execution of atomic spies Julius and Ethel Rosenberg nears. We begin our world report from the nation's capital.
This is Washington, Jack Bell with this flash. The Supreme Court this evening has refused to stay the execution of atom spies Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. The court also refused for the fourth time to review the trial of the condemned husband and wife, whose case has attracted worldwide attention. The Rosenbergs are scheduled to die Thursday night in the electric chair in New York's Sing Sing prison. This refusal by the high tribunal apparently ended the Rosenbergs' last hope of escaping death through moves in federal court. Their lawyer, Emmanuel Block, says a new effort will be made to get last-minute executive clemency. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Arthur Brisbane in New York. On a cold winter's day, 3 years ago, last February, Scotland Yard Inspector Leonard Burt dropped his hand on the shoulder of a German-born scientist at work in Great Britain's atomic laboratory. The scientist was Dr. Klaus Fuchs, a brilliant balding expert who had been present at the birth of the first atomic bomb in New Mexico in 1945. His arrest that February 4, 1950, was the first step in cracking a treacherous international atomic spy conspiracy that numbered among its plotters Julius Rosenberg and his 100-pound wife Ethel. Never were the stakes as high in mankind's history as in the cat-and-mouse drama to follow. In the background of the ensuing 3 years of pursuit, arrest, trial, and appeal was the atom bomb, never heard and never seen except through the imagery of its awesome mushroom fury at Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Bikini, and Yucca Flats. Fuchs, now 41 years old, confessed his part in the spy plot. He had been a Soviet agent since 1938. He was a Soviet agent when he helped American scientists produce the first A-bomb. A Soviet agent privy to the greatest military secret of all time. He is now serving 14 years in prison, the maximum under British law. From Fuchs, the trial of conspiracy led the FBI to Harry Gold, a mousy little Swiss-born chemist in Philadelphia. Gold was arrested May 23, 1950, pleaded guilty, and is serving 30 years. He cooperated with the government, and through him, FBI men proceeded along the trail of the conspiracy. 3 weeks later came the arrest of David Greenglass. Greenglass talked. Meanwhile, the Korean War exploded. FBI agents arrested Julius Rosenberg, mustached college graduate, who married Greenglass's sister Ethel in 1939. She bore him 2 sons, Michael, now 10, and 6-year-old Robert. Rosenberg maintained his innocence and did not cooperate. It was on August 11th that the FBI struck again. They seized Mrs. Rosenberg and her modest $51 a month apartment in New York's Knickerbocker Village. The significance the government attached to these arrests was first revealed by Miles Lane, then assistant U.S. attorney. He said that Mrs. Rosenberg's arraignment, quote, "If the crime in which she is charged had not occurred, perhaps we would not have had the present situation in Korea," unquote.
The Rosenbergs were accused of transmitting military secrets to Soviet Russia themselves and through green glass. Gold was alleged to have picked up A-bomb secrets from Fuchs and green glass at Los Alamos. Gold identified himself to green glass with a torn piece of a jello box top. It matched the other half of green glass's possession. His half was given to him by the Rosenbergs. Much of the evidence against Rosenberg was circumstantial. They have maintained their innocence throughout. In New York, this is Brisbane speaking.
Hello, this is Max Jordan with the U.S. 3rd Infantry. 30,000 communists ripped into Allied lines today, breaking 2 miles deep in the mightiest Red Offensive in 2 years. Two South Korean divisions on the East Central Front buckled under an assault by two fresh Chinese divisions, about 20,000 soldiers. Here, just to the west, another 10,000 Reds pierced Allied lines before they were halted in bloody trench fighting by infantrymen of the U.S. 3rd and South Korean 9th Divisions. It was the greatest Red drive since the 1951 Spring Offensive, and apparently intended to gain the communists as much ground as possible before the impending armistice. The communists engulfed Capitol Hill and Outpost Texas, south of Kumsong, and had the South Korean 5th and 8th Divisions reeling south toward the Pukan River. I can paint you a picture here at the front of bloody, reckless Chinese pouring over a 3,000-foot peak which dominates the area held by the two ROK divisions. With the U.S. 3rd Infantry in the ROK, this is Max Jordan.
This is Stan Turner in Seoul. Signs of a quick truce increased today. Word leaked out that staff officers writing the last details of an armistice have struck no snags. However, they may have to consider the changing battle lines, which might change the 2.5-mile truce buffer zone. Also, Allied and Red liaisons met in secret for 19 minutes, and troops and supply trucks poured into this base camp as the Allies rushed preparations for the huge prisoner exchange to follow an armistice. UN Field Commander Lieutenant General Maxwell Taylor warned his 8th Army by radio that the impending armistice would not end the war itself, and told the soldiers to stay ready to fight. General Taylor said, quote, "The possibility of an armistice has increased to the point that we must consider what a signing would mean," end quote. In Seoul, this is Stan Turner.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Secretary of State John Foster Dulles has revived speculation that the Eisenhower administration may seek a broad Far Eastern settlement with the communists following a Korean armistice. Dulles noted that President Eisenhower said in an address to the American Society of Newspaper Editors that, quote, "Any armistice in Korea that merely releases aggressive armies elsewhere would be a fraud," unquote. Dulles says conceivably that the post-armistice conference might take up the question of the communist-led Viet Minh insurrection in Indochina. Dulles says the United Nations will work to unify Korea. He expressed belief that the unification of Korea, as well as Germany and Austria, will come about. That statement brought applause from congressional leaders who, however, sounded a cautionary note against paying too high a price for agreement with the Chinese. Chairman H. Alexander Smith, New Jersey Republican of a Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee, says Congress will stand firmly behind Dulles that Korea be united. Smith says he fears it is going to be extremely difficult to get the communists to agree on a free election to unite Korea without giving the Chinese Communist government the UN Security Council seat now occupied by the Chinese nationalists. Eisenhower is quoted as telling lawmakers this country not only will oppose UN admission for Beijing, but will lead the fight against it. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
Postmaster General Summerfield will ask for an increase in postal rates to wipe out their $600 million deficit. Republican House Speaker Joseph Martin of Massachusetts told reporter Summerfield hopes the rate increases, if Congress grants them, will go into effect October the 1st. This would increase from 3 cents to 4 cents in the cost of mailing a first-class letter. Refugees still pouring into West Berlin from the Russian zone declared today that East Germany is full of skepticism over the communist regime's announced change of heart. After the weekend lull, the flow of refugees jumped upward again, recording in a 24-hour total of 2,100 Monday night. They included 40 farmers who agreed unanimously that they did not believe the East Zone's promise to de-communize, promote individual effort, and restore freedom and liberty. And now a word from Stack & Company. Here's Tim Muggles.
Terrific. Well, that's what all we can say about UHF reception with the new Motorola TV all-channel UHF Strata Tuner. Get the set that's been tried, tested, and proved best to bring you new local channel 38 WFTV. And we've got a beauty that's on sale for you. It's a smart, compact, brilliant ebony plastic table with big 17-inch tube TV, razor-sharp picture, all-channel VHF and UHF tuning, and it's only $239.90. You better see it. Motorola TV, it's terrific. Get it at Stack & Company at 1309 Tower Avenue in Superior. Now, back to Lou.
What on earth is wrong with your mic?
Well, nothing really. I suppose he could lose a few pounds, get a haircut. Otherwise, he's okay.
What on earth are you talking about?
Mike, your news reporter, you asked what on earth is wrong with Mike.
I mean, what on earth is wrong with your microphone?
Oh, well, it's different, isn't it? It's something I kind of like. It makes me sound godlike.
Better have Joe take a look. You and your godlike make me uncomfortable. Republican Congressman Alvin Okotsky says that the high brass of the Air Force, in its dealing with industrialist Henry Kaiser, quote, has wasted and literally thrown down the drain hundreds of millions of dollars. The Wisconsin congressman says the contract with Kaiser to produce C-119 jets should be canceled. Okotsky says the Fairchild Aircraft Corporation at Hagerstown, Maryland, is producing the C-119 for $350,000, but Kaiser Fraser costs are $1 million a plane. An opponent of the St. Lawrence Seaway project testified today that sponsors of the waterway to link the Atlantic Ocean and the Great Lakes have made changes designed to put a cheap price tag on it. Association of American Railroads Gregory Prince told the House Public Works Committee that the cost of the seaway will be far in excess of $86 million estimated as the United States share. Prince says $100 million of the cost is being shifted to a power project to be built by Canada and an American partner. Talks resumed today to avoid a mechanic strike in Superior. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
With talks between auto mechanics and the Superior garage owners and dealers deadlocked, a bargaining session is underway with a federal conciliator on hand. The union has filed a notice with the employers that should negotiations collapse, the garages would be notified 24 hours prior to striking. The International Association of Machinists Mechanics Lodge is asking for a rate of $1.98 an hour. The Superior Auto Dealers Association issued a statement declaring their willingness to consider a 10 cents an hour increase. The mechanics have demanded a 28 cents an hour increase, 15-minute coffee breaks for every 4 hours of work, and 3 weeks vacation with pay for employees with more than 10 years' experience. The talks are continuing, Lou. And you think I'm fat?
No, ignore Tim. And get your haircut. And that, Tim, is the news at this hour.
$1.98 an hour. Whoa. We need a union, Lou.
No wage is too high for a guy who fixes my brakes.
Lou Martin, the man with the breaking news. All right, campers. Forecast for Monday night, June 15th, 1953 is wet and wild. Expect thunder boomers tonight with a low of 53, a wee bit cooler tomorrow with a high of 65. Now, let's roll out the records. Marty Robbins, here's a white sport coat and a pink carnation on the Tim Michaels Evening Gather Round Show.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. Long ago.
quickly you'd go. Now you've changed your mind, it seems. Someone else will hold my dreams. A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Robinson, a white sport coat and a pink carnation on KUWS.
I wish you'd get Joe to fix your mic. You sound like some alien from a sci-fi movie.
I know. I like it. Like it.
Ah, stop that. Now, Superior Evening Telegram editor Clough Gates with tonight's editorial. Good evening, sir.
Ah, that's the question tonight, Lou, is it?
Is what?
Is it a good evening?
It's a good evening if my turntables work and the sky isn't on fire, and I sound like a Martian.
A Martian? You hit the nail on the head, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm not following you here.
Lou, you hear it in Superior. You hear it in New York and San Francisco, and no doubt you hear it in Tombstone, Arizona. Those tornadoes and freak weather disturbances are caused by atomic explosions.
I knew it.
All right, that's just about enough of that. Let me fix that.
Small wonder that some congressmen insist on calling a congressional investigation of the possible connection, which they see, between the unusual weather and the atomic explosion tests in Nevada. Scientists refuse to admit there is any possibility of atomic explosions affecting the weather or causing tornadoes. The amount of natural disturbance caused by an ordinary thunderstorm is equal to the power of many atomic blasts. Scientists explain that the recent twisters are abnormal, but add that weather is always abnormal somewhere. The truth is that the fault may lie with us more than the atomic testing. Some weather experts say that clashes of hot air from the Gulf of Mexico and cold air from Lake Superior and Canada have resulted in tornadoes. Seasoned observers of Congress doubt whether this explanation will satisfy the congressmen who wish to investigate. It is possible that in the future some of the hot air won't be coming just from the Gulf of Mexico, but also from the halls of Congress, Lou.
Superior Evening Telegram editor, Clough Gates.
There, that should fix that. And say, Gates, you didn't mention the atomic army worms. Well-informed folks hereabouts think this summer's glut of extra fat and juicy army worms are a direct cause of atomic tests and the fallout onto said worms. Now, test that, will you?
Testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, the mic works and you can count to 5. Hey. You get a star. Now, back to the atomic army worms.
Atomic army worms. Play some music.
Will do, Lou. Here's Nat King Cole and Too Young on the Monday Evening Gather Round Show.
They try to tell us we're too young, too young to really be in love.
say that love's a word, a word we've only heard, but can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet we're not too young to know this love will last, though years may go, and then someday they may recall we were not too young at all. This love will last, though years may go, and then someday they may recall we were not too young.
Nat King Cole and Too Young on KUWS. So, you don't believe in Engineer Joe's atomic army worms theory, eh, Lou?
No, I don't. And stop bringing it up. Here's Douglas County Farm Agent Claude.
Call me Bertie.
Evening.
I know you've ducked me in the past about some sensational egg stories in the past, like the meeting of the foresters last year examining the automatic de-limbing device.
I really wanted to go.
You would have had the scoop. Not a one other reporter showed up. But this time, I tell you, boy, this time you won't want to miss this. No siree, Bob. I mean, Lou. It's the Wisconsin Canton Show in Iron River next week. A week from today, that's Monday, June 22nd. Next Monday, Lou.
I'm jotting it down right now.
But there's nothing on your notepad. Not a thing.
I must be out of ink.
Here, borrow my pen. It's atomic.
Thanks very much.
Okay, here's the dealy, Bob, Lou.
Why does he keep calling you Bob, Lou?
You radio announcers are a scream!
So are you farm agents.
Okay, so here's the dealy, Bob, Lou. Man, this is so great. The Wisconsin Canton Show, sponsored by Wisconsin Canton No. 6, E.A. David of Wentworth President, will meet at the REA Building Grounds in Iron River. That's next Tuesday, Lou.
You said Monday.
Monday, yes, Monday. You're right. Boy, I'm keyed up about Cantons, keyed up about Cantons, keyed up about Cantons, keyed up about Cantons.
Slap him on the back.
Why don't you do it?
You're closer.
All right.
Canton. Oh! That's twice. Thanks. Let's see. Ashland County Ag Agent Dave Holt will open the program at 10:30 with opening remarks. Then Iron River Mayor Willoughby makes a speech. You might think, what more could there be, Bertie? But hang on to your milk cans. Mr. R.W. Stumbo, coming all the way from Beloit and the field man for Brown Swiss Cattle Breeders Association, will then explain a canton.
That's kind of like preaching to the choir, isn't it?
I don't think these boys are good at singing. Then the canton gets, well, wild. At 11 o'clock, the bull class judging begins at the Iron River 4-H grounds. At noon, we'll have a delicious sack lunch of steak sandwiches with vegetarian lunches for those who are, well, you know, more attached to the bull than most of us. Entertainment will be provided by the Iron River High School Band. I mean, the fun and excitement never stops.
I'm already exhausted.
I'm just getting started. A livestock parade with 4-H members wearing placards stressing Dairy Month and possibly, now, this isn't a promise, but we're keeping our fingers and toes crossed. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't even say. You know, expectations are already high.
Oh, come on. Please, pretty. Pretty, 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 please.
When did my career get to this point?
All righty then. You twisted old Bertie's arm. They possibly, maybe, just perhaps could have dairy floats in the parade.
Dairy floats with whipped cream and a cherry on top?
That... Not that kind of float.
Lou sounds annoyed.
It's the atomic fallout from all those tests in Nevada.
Really?
Studies show that atomic radiation fallout not only mutates bugs, making them into man-eaters, but can also leave certain news-type men with a poor ability to cope in annoying situations. Lou Martin, case in point. So, what do you think about the atomic army worms, huh?
If you're referring to the tent caterpillars in the genus Malacosoma moth family that is currently defoliating our trees in their once every 7 to 10 years life cycle, then I'm afraid I know nothing about it.
Now then, judging will be completed at the Canton by 3:45, at which time we will adjourn from what I must say will be a full day of activity. That is all. I'm not saying another word. Not a word. Couldn't drag another syllable out of me. Not a letter.
Alrighty, Dealey Bob Bertie then.
Nothing about the Atomic Tent Caterpillar's Larvae Mutations Project from Bertie's lips.
Aha!
Must play some music now.
It's true, isn't it, Bob? A regular government
no,
block.
No, I don't know
I'm
anything.
Telling you,
I know
I've seen
nothing.
Those worms
not,
up.
Hey, it's music time. Like here's Sonny James and Young Love on the Monday Evening Gather Around Show.
They say forever, boy and girl, there's just one love in this whole world. And I know I found mine. The heavenly touch of your embrace tells me no one could take your place ever in my heart. Young love. Kiss from your sweet lips will tell me that your love is real, and I can feel that it's true. We will vow to one another, there will never be another love for you or for me. Young love.
Sonny James and Young Love on KUWS.
Look, I can't be sure, but Bill Doherty down there at the Washburn County Ag Office says it's all the farmers are talking about.
Well, I got an official gossip from the Engineers Monday afternoon Pollyanna competition from the WEBC engineer who was talking to the WLS engineer in Chicago. You know, those big city engineers know everything. And he just heard it from the WOY wow engineer in Reno that this is on the QT, that these atomic army worms are real.
Hold it right there, Buster. You're spilling top secrets. I could have you shot. And this time I could get away with it.
Who's calling Buster, Buster?
I don't know anything about the atomic larvae conspiracy. Not a thing.
Colonel Joseph P. Buster Raffley, that's who.
Is it me, or does his name keep getting longer?
More music, please.
Afraid of a few fat, hairy, squishy army worms there, Skinny?
Actually, they're quite social.
Oh, Joe's right. The tent caterpillars are not only social...
What?
Social, but they're quite colorful, diurnal, and build lovely silk tents in the branches of the trees, i.e. tent caterpillars.
Huh? That glow in the dark?
Boy, this guy is really, really boring.
More on the Atomic Army Worms conspiracy right after Patty Page and Allegheny Moon on the Gather Round Show.
In fact, tent caterpillars can make a heady army worm wine. Tastes like a white wine with a full-bodied vintage.
Yuck. Yuck.
Even the colonel's getting wheezy.
Hey, Buster, your head's turning into a nice shade of army worm.
Allegheny Moon, I need your light to help me find romance tonight. So shine, shine, shine on, Allegheny Moon. Your silver beams can lead the way to golden dreams. So shine, 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 shine. High among the stars, so bright above, the magic of your lamp of love can make him mine. Allegheny Moon, it's up to you. What you can do for me and for my one and only love. So shine, shine, shine. Magic of your lamp of love can make him mine. Allegheny Moon, it's up to you. Please see what you can do for me and for my one and only.
Patty Page and Allegheny Moon on KUWS.
All right, I'm going to end this insanity once and for all. There is no atomic army worm. There is no conspiracy by the Pentagon to somehow, in a mind-boggling, insane scheme, to drop atomic army worms on Red Square. Here are the facts. Army worms come about every 7 to 10 years.
That's about right. This is 1953, and the last infestation we had was 1943, so that's 10 years exactly.
Do you think he did that in his head all by himself?
Well, farm agents can't be expected to be able to do quick calculations like us engineers, so give the guy a break.
The infestation lasts about 8 weeks. In fact, the highway sanding crews, used only in the winter for icy roads, were called out of hibernation yesterday across Duluth and Superior when hordes of tent caterpillars...
Or genus Malacosoma family...
i.e. army worms...
Atomic army worms...
...made highways almost impossible. Tens of thousands of army worms crawling onto highways, mostly at the crest of hills, piling as deep as 2 inches after last night's heavy rain. Thus, a slimy coating formed on the roads as the worms were squashed under the wheels of cars and trucks. Conditions were the same as if we had a sleet storm. That's all there is to it. Nothing atomic about them.
But Bill Doherty is never wrong. Of course, sometimes the nights get long in Washburn County, and there's not a lot to do once you bed down the cows and stuff.
Bed down the cows?
Maybe the WLS guy misunderstood the WOW guy, who does have a bit of a reputation for telling whoppers. Come to think of it.
Atomic army worm.
Well, it made sense, kind of. You drop them on the Ruskies, they eat up all the crops, and the commies' whole system collapses.
Well, we'll be back, campers. Same time, same place, next week on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and we don't skid on any army worms. I mean, the whole thing's unbelievable.
Right.
Preposterous. I never believed it. Atomic army worms.
They had to bring out Sanders in the highway in June.
Your mic's broken again.
I find the army worm wine unbelievable.
Oh, it goes good with walleye or any kind of seafood. What I can't believe is that we'll actually have dairy floats.
Well, what I can't believe is that the engineers meet every Wednesday to play Pollyanna.
Ah, that's Monday. On Wednesdays, we play Old Maid.
Oh, excuse me.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1953, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, John Munson, Eric Olson, Brian Matuzak, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1953 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.